An ocean of mercy. All glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to He whose feet contain all auspiciousness. All glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the King of Sannyasis. And all glories to all the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Accompanied by his devotees, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left Nadia and he set out for Vrindavan. He walked on the path near the Ganga bank and by bathing and drinking, he fulfilled Goddess Ganga's desire. Near Goda, by the Ganga's shore, was a village whose name was Ramakeli, a village of Brahmins. The Lord went to that holy place, and after 4 or 5 days, no one knew that he was there. But how long can the sun remain hidden? Soon, everyone had heard that Lord Chaitanya had come. And with happy hearts, everyone, including women, children, elders, the pious, and even the impious, came to see him. The Lord remained always in ecstasy. Nothing but pure devotion and ecstatic love pleased him. He chanted Krishna's names. And in doing that, he roared and he thundered. He trembled and tears would pour from his eyes. And the hairs of his body stood erect. Again and again he would stumble and fall. And again he performed kirtan with the devotees. Not for one moment did he perform even half a sesame seed worth of any other activity other than kirtan. The Lord very loudly would weep. And for 2 miles on the path, the people heard him weeping. And even though they did not understand the nectar of ecstatic devotional service, everyone felt happy when they saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. From afar, everyone offered dandavat obeisances, and gathering together, they would loudly sing, Hari, Hari, Hari Bo, Hari Bo! And hearing the people chant the holy name of Lord Hari, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became happy. Chant! 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 The Lord said as he raised his arms high in the air. And everyone then chanted louder. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifested so much bliss in Ramakeli that even the Muslims, what to speak of the others, all began to chant Krishna's holy names. Even the Muslims would offer dandavat obeisances from afar. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu always performed sankirtan and did not do even half a sesame seed's worth of any other activity. From the 4 directions, people came to see his kirtan, and gazing at the Lord, who did not feel his own heart run to him and place itself at his lotus feet. And gathering together, the people chanted the holy names of Hari. In the 4 directions, no one could hear any other sound. In Ramakeli, just near where the Lord was exhibiting ecstasy, the Muslim king lived. But still, although kirtan was completely prohibited, there was no fear in anyone's heart. Everyone forgot all sufferings. They forgot their sorrows, they forgot their homes, their duties, and they fearlessly chanted, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. A policeman went to the Muslim king and said, one sannyasi has come to Ramakeligram and he always chants Krishna Kirtan and thus he glorifies some ghost and many people have come to meet him. The king replied, what is this sannyasi like? Tell me about him. How does he eat? What is his name? What is the shape of his body? And the policeman said, Listen, my Lord, I have never seen or heard anything like him before. He's very handsome, but I do not have the power to properly describe him. His complexion conquers the splendor of gold. He's very tall. His arms reach to his knees. His navel is very deep. His neck is like a lion's. He has an elephant's shoulders. And his eyes are just like lotus flowers. Millions of moons do not equal his face. His lips are gloriously red. His teeth defeat pearls. His handsome broad chest is covered with sandalwood paste. And a saffron garment graces his broad hips. His feet are pinkish like lotuses. And his toenails glisten like 10 mirrors. He must have previously been a king. A king of some country, or at least the son of a king. He must have somehow attained spiritual knowledge and then left and became a sannyasin, traveling from place to place. His limbs, arms and legs seem as soft as butter. Now please hear this wonder, the policeman said. Despite his delicateness, he violently falls again and again to the ground. In 1/2 hour, he must fall 100 times. Hundreds of times. His falls break stone. But still his body is not broken. The hairs on this sannyasi's body always stand erect. Moment after moment, this sannyasi trembles so violently that 100 men cannot hold him still. The tears that flow from his 2 eyes are a wonder to be seen, and they flow just like many rivers. And sometimes this sannyasi loudly laughs, and he continues his laughing for 6 hours without stopping. Then, sometimes after listening to the kirtan, he falls to the ground, completely unconscious, and no one can revive him, and everyone becomes frightened. Again and again he raises his arms and he chants the names of Hari, Hari, and he has no desire to eat, sleep, or do anything else. From the 4 directions people come to see him, and having seen him, no one wishes to go home. The policeman concluded, I have seen so many sannyasis, so many yogis and philosophers, but I have never seen or even heard of any wonderful person before who is like he is. O great king, I say that this person's arrival makes your whole country glorious and fortunate. Now, no one is eating. No one is sleeping, no one talks. At every moment, everyone enjoys only Sankirtan with this sannyasi. Although the king, whose name was Hussein Shah, although the king was naturally passionate and ferocious, when he heard these words, he felt great wonder in his heart. The wonder-struck king called for his advisor, whose name was Keshava Khan. And he asked, Keshava Khan, what is your opinion of the sannyasi whose name is Sri Krishna Chaitanya? Tell me, What is the talk about him? What kind of man is he? What kind of sannyasi is he? You must tell me. From the four directions, people come to see him. Why? Please say what you think. Hearing these words, saintly Keshava Khan became afraid. And hiding his true opinion, he said, Who says he's a great soul? He's just a beggar, a sannyasi beggar, a poor man from another country. He even lives under a tree. The king said, Don't call him a poor man. I feel it is a great offense to have heard these words with my ears. Everyone should know without a doubt that he is the same person the Hindus call Krishna and the Muslims call Khuda. In my kingdom, everyone follows my order. But in every kingdom, everyone places this person's order upon his head. In my own kingdom, how many enemies try to stop me? If this person were not the Supreme Personality of Godhead, why would these people from every country worship him with their bodies, words, and thoughts? If for 6 months I did not pay my servants, every one of them would make many complaints against me. But these people arrange for their own eating, and then they serve the sannyasi. Who is it that does not gaze upon him with a loving heart? Therefore, Keshava Khan, please know that he must be the Supreme Lord. That is the truth. Please don't say that he's a poor person. I wish to make a proclamation, the king said. This I say to everyone. If anyone, be he Kaji or a policeman or anyone, makes trouble for the sannyasi, I will personally take away that troublemaker's life. This sannyasi may go wherever he likes. He may preach whatever he likes from his own scripture. He may happily perform kirtan with all the people. He may do whatever is in his heart. After giving this order, the king retired to the inner rooms of his palace. Thus, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was able to continue his pastimes in Ramakeli. This Muslim king was named Hussein Shah. He had broken many deities, many temples throughout Orissa. Yet even he honored Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Having heard these words from the king, the saintly residents of Ramakeli became happy. But while meeting in secret and while discussing the situation, they concluded, this king is actually a ferocious man, and he's always agitated by the mode of ignorance. In Orissa, he wildly broke millions and millions of deities and temples. But by divine arrangement, the mode of goodness is currently born within his heart. He therefore now speaks sweetly. He speaks good words to us. But if someone comes and gives him bad advice, he may again become wicked and ferocious. We should therefore inform the sannyasi, O Lord, why have you come to this place? We should send him a letter that says, why should you stay in a village that is so close to the king? Everyone agreed to this plan, and an honest brahmana was entrusted to secretly carry the letter to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. tasting the nectar of ecstatic love, and always wild with bliss. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu roared and thundered the holy names again and again, and gathering together, thousands, millions of people sang Lord Hari's holy names with him. And in their midst, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the jewel of sannyasis, joyfully danced. Not for a moment did anyone say or do anything else. Day and night, everyone simply performed Sankirtan. And seeing this, the Brahmana became filled with wonder. But in the midst of the continuous Sankirtan that continuously surrounded the Lord, the Brahmana found no opportunity to deliver his message. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not even stop his chanting to speak to his closest associates, such as Nityananda Prabhu. Why would he speak to others? Was it day? Was it night? Was he amongst friends, strangers? Was he in water? Was he on land? Was he in a village? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had no external consciousness. He had become wild in his ecstasy. So, not finding an opportunity to speak to the Lord, the Brahmana spoke to the Lord's devotees. He said, "You are all close associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When you find the opportunity, please convey to him this message. It's very simple. Why should you stay in a village that is so close to this king? All of you, please, please, I beg you to tell him this message." After saying these words and after offering millions of dandabhat obeisances to the Lord, the Brahmana left and returned to his home. Hearing the Brahmin's words, the Lord's associates began to worry deep in their hearts. And still, due to the Lord's continuous chanting, even they could not find a moment to deliver that message to him. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued to remain far from external consciousness, and raising his two arms, all he would say is, "Chant Krishna's names, Krishna, Krishna, chant, chant, Hari, chant, Hari, chant Krishna's names, Krishna, Krishna." In the four directions, millions and millions of people clapped their hands and joyfully chanted, "Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol." And they joyfully chanted, "Jai, Jai, Sri Radhe." And also, "Bolo, Giriraj Maharaj Ki Jai." The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the remembrance of whose servants' names breaks the bonds of repeated birth and death, and whose remembrance throws all obstacles far away, whose potency enables the individual souls to move and act, and whom the Vedas describe as the eternal and pure Supreme Brahman, and whose maya makes the conditioned soul forget himself, he had now descended to the earth to deliver the conditioned souls from the bondage of repeated birth and death by allowing them to taste the nectar of pure devotional service. Who is the king who can rule over him? Who does he need fear? The Vedas affirm death, time, and all their companions all serve him. by his own wish, supremely independent Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the crest jewel of all persons, performs Sankirtan with all the people of Ramakeli. But a slight worry had entered the hearts of the Lord's associates. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the super soul in the heart of all, he became aware of that, and he, slightly smiling, returned to external consciousness, and breaking the illusion of his devotees, he said to them, "Why are you afraid that the king will come and see me? Why are you afraid at heart? What can the king say that will force me to go and see him? What power has the king to order me? Only if I place the words in his mouth will the king say that he wishes to see me. What power has he to see me without my will? The Vedas search for me, but they do not see me. The Devarishis, Rajarshis, the Siddhas, the Puranas, and the Mahabharata, they also search for me. But they too do not see me. They cannot. To begin the Sankirtan movement and to spread the chanting of Krishna's holy names all over the earth, this fallen world, I have descended for this purpose, to deliver this world. My heart does not care whether the people are yavanas or demons. In this Kali Yuga, everyone will chant my names. I will deliver the untouchables, the demons, the yavanas, the outcasts, sudras, everyone. In this Yuga, I will give everyone the devotional service that demigod sages and siddhas yearn to attain. Everyone will take it. Everyone will take it. But those who are intoxicated by learning, by their wealth, by their aristocratic families, by their knowledge and austerity, they alone will not become my devotees. They will commit offenses. In this Yuga, these kind of people are cheated. They do not understand my transcendental pastimes. In every village and country on this earth, my name will be preached and sung. I have come, but still people do not search to find me. Why would this king come to see me? These words are all false, and this I tell you. Manifesting external consciousness, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke, and hearing these words, the devotees all became relieved of their fear and became happy. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed for some days in the village of Ramakeli, and the Lord fearlessly performed the Sankirtan of chanting his own holy names. Who has the power to know the Supreme Lord's desire? He did not go to Mathura, to Vrindavan, but he turned back saying, "I will go and see Jagannath, who is the moon of Nalachal." And saying these words, the supremely blissful and independent Lord, continuing his pastime of Sankirtan, went south on the path by the Ganga bank. And after some days, he came to the home of Sri Advaita Acharya. Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare At the exact time when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived at the home of Advaita Acharya, the Acharya was with his son, whose name was Being in the association of Achyutananda, the Acharya was experienced great bliss. Please listen, but not only listen, listen happily, and I will tell you the wonderful story of why Advaita Acharya was wrapped in bliss in his son's company. One day, by divine arrangement, an exalted sannyasi came to Advaita Acharya's home. And seeing the sannyasi, Advaita felt very humble. First he bowed down, then he offered the sannyasi a sitting place. Advaita Acharya said, "O Goswami, please accept your alms, your food, my place." And the sannyasi replied, "You may offer me alms, but first I wish to ask a question of you. The alms I ask is that you answer my question." Advaita Acharya replied, "Please accept a meal first. Later, you may ask any question and we will talk." The sannyasi said, "First I will ask my question." Advaita Acharya, agreeing to fulfill the sannyasi's desire, said, "Ask me whatever question you like." The sannyasi said, "What is the relationship between Keshava Bharati Goswami and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Please tell me that." In his heart, Advaita Acharya thought, "There are two sides, one material, external, and the other is spiritual. Although he has neither mother nor father, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is still called Devaki Nandana, the son of Devaki. And although from the spiritual point of view, no one can be Lord Chaitanya's guru, still, everyone says that he has a guru. Why should I begin by talking from the spiritual point of view first? I'll speak in material terms." Thinking in this way, Sri Advaita Acharya replied to the sannyasi saying, "Keshava Bharati is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's guru. You yourself know this fact, and you have seen that Keshava Bharati is Mahaprabhu's guru, so why do you question me in this way?" At the exact moment Sri Advaita Acharya spoke these words, Achyutananda ran into the room. He was a charming 5-year-old boy, and his limbs, clothed only by the 4 directions, were covered with dust from his childhood playing. Each of his limbs was handsome. But when Achyutananda heard the words, "Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's guru," Achyutananda laughed and laughed. But he soon became filled with anger and said, "Father, what are you saying? Do you think Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has a guru? How can you dare place such words on your tongue? I cannot understand why you have said that. If you place words like that on your tongue, then I think that Kali Yuga has certainly come. Or perhaps Lord Chaitanya's Maya potency, which bewilders even Brahma, Shiva, and the other demigods, that Maya has also bewildered you. For no one has the power to cross over Lord Chaitanya's Maya. If you are not bewildered by Maya, then why do you say Lord Chaitanya has a guru? By Lord Chaitanya's wish, the numberless universes enter the pores of his own body. Lord Chaitanya plays alone as he enjoys pastimes on the waters of the causal ocean. Nothing different from him exists. By Lord Chaitanya's inconceivable will, Brahma was born from his lotus navel. At that moment, Brahma had no power to even see where he was. At the end, Brahma worshipped Lord Chaitanya with unalloyed devotion. And pleased by Brahma's devotion, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught him the truth. Placing Lord Chaitanya's order upon his head, Brahma, he then created the universe, and he then taught everyone what he had learned. Shanak and the other sages heard that knowledge from Brahma and mercifully taught it to the whole world. In this way, knowledge was passed down. Why then, why, O Father, do you say that Lord Chaitanya has a guru? You are my father. You are my shiksha guru. How will I learn the truth from you? Why did you say this false thing? After speaking these words, Achyutananda became silent. And within Advaitacharya's heart, bliss took breath. He said again and again, "Oh, my son, my son." He embraced Achyutananda, and tears of Advaitacharya's love sprinkled Achyutananda's limbs. The Acharya said, "You are my father, and I am your son. Pretending to be my son, you have come to teach me. Never again will I talk as I did. This I promise you." Hearing himself praised, saintly Achyutananda became embarrassed, and he would not lift his head. The sannyasi, after hearing Achyutananda's words, at once offered Dandavat obeisances, saying, "Advaita's son is a worthy son of his exalted father. As the father is, so is the son. His words are beyond the knowledge of ordinary human beings. The power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead rests in Achyutananda. It cannot be otherwise. How can such words come from the mouth of a child? With my own eyes, with my own ears, I have seen and heard a wonderful miracle." After offering respectful obeisances to Advaita and his son, the sannyasi departed, chanting continuously, "Hari, Hari, Hari Vo, Krishna, Krishna." Seeing his own son's glory, Advaitacharya abandoned all of his other duties. He embraced his son, and tears flowed from his eyes. He took the dust from his son's limbs and happily smeared it upon his own body, saying, "Lord Chaitanya's own associate has been born in my home." He repeated this again and again, and clapping his hands, Advaitacharya embraced his son, and he began to dance. At that auspicious moment, at that exact auspicious moment, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived from Ramakeli, accompanied by his associates. Advaitacharya fell to the ground, for before his eyes was his worshipable deity, the master of his life, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He then offered his dandavat obeisances. Falling to the ground, he began roaring loudly, "Hari, Hari, Hari Bol!" And all the women chanted, "Jai, Jai, Sri Chaitanya!" As great bliss arose in Advaitacharya's home, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced Advaitacharya to his chest. and he sprinkled Advaita's limbs with his tears of ecstatic love. Advaita Charja held the feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his own chest, and he covered those feet with his own tears as all the devotees began to cry. After some moments, he became peaceful. And Advaita Charja humbly offered Lord Chaitanya a place to sit, and the devotees surrounded him. Nityananda embraced Advaita Charja, and gazing at each other, they became happy at heart. The devotees who had accompanied Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then offered obeisances to Advaita Charja, and with great love, Advaita Charja embraced them all. In one moment, Advaita's small son, whose name was Chaitanya, fell down before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and offered his obeisances at his feet. And embracing him, Lord Chaitanya covered Achyutananda's body with tears of his own love. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not let Achyutananda leave his chest, and Achyutananda clung to the Lord's body. Seeing the Lord's mercy to Achyutananda, the devotees became ecstatic and wept in love. Of all of Lord Chaitanya's associates, none was more dear than Achyutananda. No one was like him. For Nityananda and Swarup Damodar, he was as dear as their own lives. He was the foremost disciple of Gadadhar Pandit, and therefore I, Vrindavan Das Thakur, say that Achyutananda was a worthy son of Advaita Charja. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed for some days and he enjoyed Sankirtan in Advaitacharya's home. And when noble-hearted Advaitacharya became a little peaceful, he sent a messenger to Mother Sachi, taking with him a palanquin. The messenger quickly went to Navadvip and told Mother Sachi the news. Her son had returned to Shantipur. Upon hearing this, Mother Sachi was plunged in a nectar ocean of ecstatic love. Mother Sachi was always swimming within a sea of ecstatic separation from her son. She never was in external consciousness. Whenever she saw anyone before her, she would say, "Please tell me news from Mathura. How are Krishna and Balaram doing? What is that sinner Kamsa doing now? What news do you have of Akura? For it was that thief who stole my Krishna and Balaram. Please tell me. I've heard that sinner Kamsa has died. Is it true that Ugrasena is now king?" Sometimes Mother Sachi would call out, "Krishna, Balaram, quickly milk the cows. I wish to soon go and sell the milk." Sometimes Mother Sachi would grab a stick and say, "Grab him, grab him. Someone help me catch this butter thief, for now he's attempting to flee. Where will you run now? Now I will tie you up." Speaking these words, Mother Sachi, wrapped in ecstasy, would run here and there, and seeing a woman come before her, she would say, "Come, let us go to the Yamuna and take our baths." Sometimes she would loudly weep, and hearing her weep, every heart melted. An unbroken stream of tears flowed from her two eyes. Hearing her lamentations, even stones and dry sticks would split apart. Sometimes Lord Krishna would appear before her in her meditation, and forgetting who she was, she would then loudly begin to laugh. She would laugh blissfully and not stop for 6 hours. Sometimes Mother Sachi would faint to the ground in ecstasy, and for 3 hours no sign of life would exist in her body. Sometimes she would begin to tremble. Again and again someone would pick her up, and again she would fall to the ground. Who has ecstatic love for Krishna as does Mother Sachi? Devotion to Krishna resides in Lord Krishna's transcendental body, and it was Lord Krishna himself who gave the power of devotion to Mother Sachi. Day and night, Mother Sachi verily swam in the waves of the ocean of ecstatic love. Whenever she was slightly in external consciousness, Mother Sachi would worship her deity of Lord Vishnu. It was just when Mother Sachi sat down to worship, it was just then that the messenger from Advaitacharya arrived with the news. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, your son, is now in Shantipur. Mother, come quickly. Come quickly and see him." Hearing this, Mother Sachi became overjoyed. Then the messenger went to tell the other devotees of Navadvip, and hearing of the Lord's arrival, the hearts of the devotees became filled with great joy and love. And taking Mother Sachi with him, the Lord's dear devotee, Gangadas Pandit, at once departed along with Murari Gupta and the other devotees, and their party quickly arrived in Shantipur. from afar, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw his mother. He at once offered his Dandavat obeisances. Again and again, he circumambulated his mother and offered his Dandavat obeisances again and again. He recited prayers. I say that you are the mother of the universe. You are pure devotional service personified. Your form is spiritual beyond the modes of material nature. If you cast a merciful glance on a conditioned soul, that soul will find his heart filled with love for Krishna. You are personified pure devotion to Vishnu. You are Lord Vishnu's potency. It is you who are the Ganga. You are Devaki. You are Yashoda. You are Devahuti. You are Prishni, Anusuya, Kaushalya, and Aditi. You are the protector. By you, everything is destroyed. Who has the power to describe you? Your home is in the hearts of all. Reciting verses like this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered prayers to his mother as streams of tears of bliss flowed over his limbs. And reciting these verses, he humbly offered his obeisances. Simply by seeing Lord Chaitanya's face, Mother Sachi was at once stunned. As Mother Sachi remained motionless before her son, she was just like a wooden puppet. And during that time, the king of Vaikuntha joyfully prayed, "Whatever little devotion to Lord Krishna I possess has come only from your mercy. The millions of servants of your servants are more dear to me than my own life." Anyone who once remembers you is no longer bound in the world of birth and death. By touching you, Ganga and Tulsi have become glorious and fortunate and capable of purifying everything. You have always been my protector, and I have no power to repay the debt I owe you. Your own spiritual virtues will have to be my repayment for the love you gave me hour after hour. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu happily offered his prayers, and by hearing them, the Vaishnavas floated in bliss. Mother Sati knew her son was Lord Narayan, having descended to the earth, and he could say whatever he wished. But after some moments, Mother Sati said only, "Who can understand your words?" As lifeless objects float in the ocean, helplessly carried here and there by the currents, so all conditioned souls float in the ocean of repeated birth and death, carried here and there by your Maya. Son, I reply to your words by saying that whatever you do is good. You may recite prayers, circumambulate, and bow down. I know that you will do whatever you wish. Hearing Mother Sachi's words, the devotees loudly cried out, "Jai, Jai, Jai." Who has the power to describe the great heights of Mother Sachi's devotion? For within her womb, Lord Chaitanya descended to this world. A person who says the material sound, i.e., mother.
I.e.
That person will find, by the power of the sound, i.e., that he has no, that he no longer experiences material suffering.
I.e.
Gazing at the Lord, Mother Sachi became filled with bliss. Overcome with bliss, the devotees were not in external consciousness. What human being has the power to describe the bliss that they felt? Mother Sati's bliss made Lord Nityananda wild, reciting prayers that said that she was Devaki herself. Lord Advaita offered Satimata his own Dandavat obeisances, which refused to end. Mother Sati's bliss made Haridas, Murari, Sri Garba, Narayan, Jagadish, Gopinath, and the other devotees blissful as well. Whoever reads or hears of their bliss will attain a great treasure, pure love for Krishna. That's good news, yes? But don't stop listening now, because here comes some more good news. Advaita Charja then announced to the devotees that glorious Mother Sachi will cook for the Lord, and Mother Sachi happily went to cook. With great love she thought, "My son, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is Lord Narayan." How many different kinds of food did Mother Sachi prepare? I do not know even the names of the different foods she cooked. Mother Sachi knew that the Lord liked shak, so she cooked 20 different preparations made of shak. With a happy heart, Mother Sachi prepared each kind of food in 10 or 20 different ways, and when the cooking was completed, she brought all the food to the dining room. Over the rice, the vegetables, and other foods, she placed tulsi manjaris. She placed the rice, the vegetables, and other foods in the four directions, and in the middle, she placed a comfortable seat. Accompanied by his associates, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat down to eat. And seeing the arrangements of rice, vegetables, and other foods, Lord Chaitanya at once offered Dandavat obeisances. "Even without eating," he said, "simply by seeing this food, one becomes free from the bonds of birth and death. See how beautiful is this food? Words cannot properly praise it. Simply by smelling the fragrance of this food, one attains pure devotion to Krishna. Just by looking at it and smelling its fragrance, one can easily know that Krishna and his associates have certainly accepted this food and have eaten it." And after speaking these words, the Lord circumambulated the food and sat down to eat. With the Lord's permission, in the four directions, the devotees sat to watch him. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ate, Sachimata filled her eyes with her son's form. She stared at him. One by one, with great pleasure, the Lord ate a portion of each kind of food preparation. Most glorious of all was the shak vegetables. Again and again, the Lord ate that. Just by seeing the shak, the Lord became pleased. Gently smiling, he ate. He then spoke to everyone the glories of shak. "This is the shak named Achyuta. By eating it, one falls in love with Lord Krishna. By eating the shak named Patalavastuka and Kala, one attains the association of Vaishnavas birth after birth. And by eating the shak named Salincha and Halancha, one becomes free from disease and also one meets Krishna." Again and again, praising the glory of shak in this way, the hairs of his body standing erect with joy, the Lord ate. If one hears or reads of Lord Chaitanya's glories, a conditioned soul will break the bonds of material ignorance. Sitting, Lord Chaitanya happily ate. He then rinsed his mouth, and while the Lord was rinsing his mouth, the devotees honored the remnants of the food that he had left. They then approached Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who had sat down. His followers gathered around him. Seeing Murari Gupta before him, the Lord smiled and said, "Murari Gupta, I heard that you wrote 8 Sanskrit verses describing Lord Ram. Please recite them. And after Murari recited and explained those verses, the Lord was pleased. Thus Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu placed his lotus feet on Murari Gupta's head. Listen, Murari, the Lord said, by my mercy, without obstacles, you will be Lord Chaitanya's servant, birth after birth. And anyone who takes shelter of you, even for only a single moment, will certainly attain Lord Ramachandra's lotus feet. Hearing the boon Lord Chaitanya gave Murari Gupta, everyone was filled with joy. And in this way, the lion, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, enjoyed his pastimes along with his devotees, who were like bees attracted to the pollen of the Lord's lotus feet. Now please very carefully listen to this final pastime that occurred just next. Just at that time, a leper, a diseased leper, came before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He offered Dandavat obeisances. He was crying in pain. Raising his two arms, he began to weep with grief. Oh, merciful Lord, he said, to deliver the whole world you descended, and seeing the sufferings of others, you also feel unhappy. And this is why I have come before you. I am tormented by leprosy. My body burns with pain. Tell me, O Lord, tell me how I can be cured. Hearing the leper's words, Lord Chaitanya became angry and rebuked him, saying, die, die, you sinner. Even if people see you, sin will take birth within them. If even a saintly person sees you, from that day, even he must suffer. You are a blasphemer of a Vaishnava. You are a sinner. Your actions are evil. How much more suffering awaits you? The Lord continued, even the word Vaishnava purifies the entire world. Brahma and the demigods sing the glories of the Vaishnavas. One who worships the Vaishnavas attains Lord Krishna, who is beyond the conception of conditioned souls. Nothing, nothing is greater than worshiping the Vaishnavas. The Vaishnavas are dear to Lord Krishna, more dear than Lakshmi, Brahma, Shiva, Anantashesha, more dear than the Lord's own body. This the Srimad Bhagavatam declares. O Uddhava, neither Brahma nor Shankara nor Shankarshan nor Lakshmi nor even my own self is as dear to me as you. Anyone who blasphemes a Vaishnava will suffer in birth, in life, and in death. Anyone who blasphemes a Vaishnava is a sinner. His education, his noble family, his austerities, his other virtues are all fruitless. Even if he worships Krishna, the Lord will not accept his worship. By a Vaishnava's dancing, the earth is made fortunate and glorious. By a Vaishnava's glance, the sins in the four directions wither and die. When a Vaishnava raises his arms to dance, the troubles in the four directions and Swagaloka as well perish. And Srivas Pandit is a great Vaishnava. And you blasphemed his character and attempted to tarnish his reputation by making him appear to be a worshipper of the goddess Chandi. These flames of leprosy are only the root of your punishment, and Yamaraj will punish you much more in the future. You are unworthy to be seen by me. I am not the one to deliver you. Hearing the Lord's words, the leper placed a blade of grass between his teeth and pitifully said, "I do not know anything. I went mad. I blasphemed the Vaishnava. Therefore it is right that I am punished." Still, you are the supreme controller. Please, O Lord, think of my welfare. A saintly person's nature is to rescue the suffering. A saintly person will be merciful even to a blasphemer. Therefore, I take shelter of you. I surrender to you. If you reject me, who will deliver me? You know everything about atonement. Please tell me. Please speak the atonement that I should perform. You are the father of everyone. I blaspheme the Vaishnava. Therefore, it is right that I am punished. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "A person who blasphemes a Vaishnava will suffer leprosy. That is written in the scriptures. But that is only his present punishment. How many further torments will you suffer from Yamaraj? Leper, run to Srivas Pandit. Fall before his feet. You blasphemed him, and only his mercy can deliver you. When the foot is pierced by a thorn, with another thorn, the first may be taken out. What will you gain by massaging the shoulders? Now I will tell you the way that you can be delivered. You must seek forgiveness from Srivas Pandit. He is the one who must forgive you. When he does so, your sufferings will go far away. Go to him. He will forgive you, and he will thus deliver you." Hearing these words, the leper offered Dandabhat obeisances to the Lord and left at once. The leper begged Srivas Pandit for forgiveness, and he thus attained the Pandit's mercy and became delivered, his offenses broken into pieces. In this way, the king of Vaikuntha explained how blasphemy of a Vaishnava brings trouble and suffering. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu punishes anyone who, in spite of hearing all this, blasphemes a Vaishnava. If one sees one Vaishnava quarreling with another Vaishnava, one should know that the quarrel is not real. It is only Lord Krishna's pastime. Satyabhauma and Rukmini quarreled, but the truth is that they were in harmony. Their quarrel was external only. It only appeared as if they quarreled. In the same way, Vaishnavas never quarrel, for it is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that arranges their quarrels as his pastimes. If, taking the side of one Vaishnava, a person blasphemes another Vaishnava, the blasphemer will perish. With one hand, he serves the Lord, and with the other, he tortures the Lord. How will any good come to him? The devotees are Lord Krishna's own body, and one who knows this becomes very peaceful and very serious. A person who, seeing that they are not different, worships both Lord Krishna and the Vaishnavas, also serves Krishna's lotus feet, and he thus crosses beyond the world of birth and death. A person who hears and sings these sacred descriptions will never find blasphemy of a Vaishnava take birth within him. I, Vrindavan Das, thus humbly offer this song at the lotus feet of Sri Krishna Chaitanya and Sri Nityananda Prabhu, for they are my life and soul.